ஹரே கிருஷ்ண. So, did you all go through the 7th chapter at your leisure? What? No. Everyone no? Or some yes? Anyway, you came to Vail to have a retreat. So take your time, but be serious. All right? Is the 7th chapter important? Why? Why the 7th chapter so important? Huh? Yeah, Krishna is establishing his authority and he is revealing his identity for us to recognize him and surrender unto him. Ultimately, it's all a matter of surrender. Actually, if we surrender, then we don't need anything. If we just surrender, then we don't have to even read books. In Golok Vrindavan, they don't study scriptures. They are simply engaged in their loving exchange with Krishna. When the loving relationship is there with Krishna, then what's the need of going to school to learn about Krishna? You already are with Krishna. So there is no need to cultivate that knowledge. So all that we are studying is simply for one basic objective, and that is to become a surrendered soul. If we become 100% surrendered, then we'll go back to the spiritual sky. If we become 100% surrendered, then this world, this place will become spiritual sky. So, I am leaving the 8th chapter up to you to study on your own. But I'm skipping the 8th chapter and coming to the 9th chapter. 9th chapter. Now, remember I told you that the most precious thing, where is it kept? In the middle. Right? When you have some precious things, where do you keep it? Do you keep it at your door? No, you keep it at the in the safe, in the most secured part of your house. So similarly, this Vedic wisdom is kept in the middle. Now, how many chapters does Bhagavad Gita have? 18 chapters. So what's the middle of the 18th? Very good. So the 9th chapter, therefore, is the most important chapter. 9th chapter is the most important chapter. And so is the 10th chapter. 9th and 10th, these are the two very, very important chapters. So we will, this 9th chapter has been described as the attaining the supreme or the most confidential knowledge. So, Shri Bhagavan Ubacha. Welcome, Dr. Anderson. So, we have a very special guest here today, Dr. Anderson. Dr. Anderson is a professor from the Colorado School of Mines, which is one of the best institutes of his kind in the United States. And he is regarded as one of the most eminent geophysicists in the world. Thank you so much, Dr. Anderson. Dr. Anderson, why don't you come here and share the seat with me?
I think the honor is too great for
me. No, I do. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Dr. Anderson lives in Denver, and he's visiting us. And he's a very close friend of ours. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Anderson. It was our pleasure at the cost of your embarrassment. So, Krishna is saying, Sri Bhagavan Ubacha, Idang tu te guihatamam pravakshami anusuyave gyanang vijnana samhitam jajgyatva moksha she subhat. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, my dear Arjuna, because you are never envious of me, I shall impart to you this most confidential knowledge and realization, knowing which you shall be relieved of the miseries of material existence. Just by understanding this knowledge, you'll become free from all the suffering conditions of the material nature. Now, do you remember what was the first verse of the seventh chapter? What did Krishna say? Gopika, do you remember? Huh? Krishna said that by knowing this, by receiving this knowledge, you'll become free from all your doubts and you will develop your attachment to me. And here Krishna is saying that this, I shall impart to you this most confidential knowledge and realization, knowing which you shall be relieved of the miseries of material existence. So is it important to receive this knowledge? Are you all ready? Okay. So, Raja Vidya Raja Guisham. Raja means the king, and Vidya means knowledge. So, Raja Vidya means the king of knowledge. And at the same time, it is Raja Guiham. Guiham means very, very confidential. So it's the most confidential of all knowledge. And at the same time, it is Pavitram. Pavitram means very, very pure. And Uttamam. Uttamam means transcendental. Pratyaksha Abhagamang dharmang susukham kartum appayam. Pratyaksham, by direct perception, it can be understood the principle of religion and it can be executed very easily. It's not difficult. Susukham kartum appayam. Kartum means to execute and susukham means happily. One can execute this process very easily, in with ease and happiness. And it is everlasting and it is joyfully performed. Then Krishna is pointing out, Ashraddha dhana purusha dharmasyasya parantapa aprapya mang nivartante mrittu sansara vartmani. Those who are not faithful in this devotional service cannot attain me. Shraddha means faith. And ashraddha, is the negation. Ashraddha dhana purusha. Those who do not have faith. Dharmasya asya parantapa. Of this process. Aprapya, they can never get me. They can never attain me. And nivartante mrittu sansara vartmani. They keep on moving on the cycle of birth and death. They are born, they die, they are born again in this way. They keep on coming and going in this cycling, in this material nature, in the process of, in the course of suffering. And then Krishna is pointing out, Maya tatam idam sarvam jagad abhyakta murtina matsthani sarva bhutani na chahang teshu avasthitaha. By me, in my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. That is the identity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's the difference between us and Him. We all are existing, we all are sustained by Him, in Him, yet He is different from us. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. And then he is pointing out the next verse. Matsthani nacha matsthani bhutani pashyame yogamisharam bhuta bhrinnacha bhutastha mamatma bhuta bhavanaha. And yet everything that is created does not rest in me. Behold my mystic opulence. Although I am the maintainer of all living entities, and although I am everywhere, I am not a part of this cosmic manifestation. For myself is the very source of creation. The entire material creation is resting in Him, sustained by Him, but He is separate completely from the material nature. Remember in Brahma Samhita we are discussing yesterday or day before yesterday, the material nature is a separated energy. His separated energy means this energy, this aspect of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is separate from Him. Therefore, He doesn't directly deal with the material nature. When it comes to deal with the material nature, He deals through the via medium of Lord Shiva. So, that is the relationship between the Supreme Personality of Godhead and this material nature. He is maintaining this material nature. He is the creator of the material nature, but He is not directly involved with the material nature. It is separate from Him. Now that is the mystery. That is why this has been considered to be the most confidential knowledge. The confidential knowledge which is imparting, it is not conceivable by our intellect. With our intelligence, we won't be able to comprehend it. With our senses, we'll not be able to perceive Him. Because our senses, our mind, our intelligence is able to only deal with the material object. With our senses, we can see only the material objects. With our mind, we can only think of the material objects. And with our intelligence, we can deal only with the material objects. But He is beyond the material nature. Therefore, He is beyond our sense perception. With our sense perception, with our mind, with our intelligence, we'll never be able to understand Him. Therefore, the only way to understand Him is receiving the information that's coming down from the spiritual nature. Initially coming down from Him and continuing in a chain of disciplic succession. Now, what's the qualification of receiving this knowledge? Our senses, our mind, our intellect will not be able to grasp it. So what is the, then what is the means by which we can receive this knowledge? The only means is faith. Accepting without any doubt. Now that doesn't mean that the entire process is based on blind faith. No. It's not blind faith. Whenever it comes to knowledge, we have to receive it with faith from a bona fide source. Consider even the alphabets when you were children, how did you learn the alphabets? Did you learn it by dint of our own effort? No, mother said this is A. We accepted with faith that A is A and B is B. We had the faith because we didn't doubt the authority of the mother and the intention of the mother or the father or the teacher. And then as we grew up, it has been verified that A is A and B is B and C is C and so forth. We accepted initially with faith that A is A and B is B. And then when we grew up and started to read books, then it became verified that yes, A is A and B is B. Similarly, this process, although it begin with faith, but eventually it becomes established, it becomes proven, it becomes justified. Everything falls in place. So that's why Krishna is pointing out that unless and until you have faith, you won't be able to enter into this domain. You won't be able to receive this knowledge. So although all our senses are unable to approach that reality, the spiritual reality, yet only one sense faculty can enter there. What is that? Our hearing. Therefore, the Vedic wisdom is considered to be Shruti. Shruti means hearing. By the process of hearing, the informations from a bona fide source, we receive this knowledge. Then Krishna is giving an example. Jatha kasha sthito nittang, vayu sarvagato, vayu sarvatrago mahan, tatha sarvani bhutani, matsthani tyupadharaya. Understand that as the mighty wind blowing everywhere rests always in the sky, all created beings rest in me. Sarva bhutani konteya, prakritin janti mamikam, kalpakshaye punastani, kalpado vishrijamyaham. O son of Kunti, at the end of the millennium, all material manifestations enter into my nature. At the end, when there will be total devastation, total annihilation, then the entire material manifestation will enter into my nature. And at the beginning of another millennium, by my potency, I create them again. This millennium is not the turn of the turn of the century. Recently we celebrated the big millennium. This is an insignificant concept of time. 100 years is nothing in compared to the creation. And you must also remember the time moves in cycle. So from smaller concept of cycle, the time moves into bigger concept of cycle. One of the greatest concept of time is Chaturyuga. There are four yugas: Satyuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapar Yuga, and Kali Yuga. The duration of Kali Yuga is 432,000 years. The duration of Dwapar Yuga is 864,000 years. The duration of Treta Yuga is 1,296,000 years. And the duration of Satya Yuga is 1.728 million years. So all put together is 4.32 million years. So this is the one of the largest units of time. Like from second to minute, minute to hour, hours to days, days to months, months to years. Then 432,000 years. Like it becomes larger and larger. That's Kali Yuga. 864,000 years. 1296,000 years, the next Yuga. And Satya Yuga, which is the first Yuga of the first four cycle, is 1728,000 years. Put together, all four put together, is 4.32 million years. That is one Chaturyuga. Now we go into even larger concept of time. The hundreds, I mean thousands such Chaturyugas make a day of Brahma. And according to the same length is the night of Brahma. So that means a day and night of Brahma consists of 8.64 billion years. And that's a day of Brahma. And in that calculation, there are months, there are years, and the duration of Brahma's life is 100 years. And then, at the end of Brahma's life, the total annihilation takes place. The whole universe will dissolve. But that is one universe. There are innumerable universes with a Brahma and a set of living entities in there. So that's how inconceivable, how vast this creation is. And there are various types of annihilations. The first annihilation is individual annihilation. When we die, that is called individual annihilation. Then there are secondary annihilations. There are various types of secondary annihilations. One is when the time, the all the yugas change, then at the end of Kali Yuga, there is an annihilation. Then after that annihilation, Satya Yuga will begin. That's a partial annihilation. Then another kind of partial annihilation is when Brahma's day ends and the night begins. That's another annihilation. So in this way, there are various types of annihilations. But the ultimate, in relation to the universe, the annihilation is when Brahma dies. Then the entire universe will dissolve. Then what happens? Krishna is pointing out, at that time, all the living entities go back to his internal potency, internal nature. But although they go back to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they don't remain in the spiritual sky. Although they go back to the spiritual sky, they don't remain in the spiritual sky. They rather remain in a state of sleep. Death is a kind of sleep, isn't it? The difference between death and sleep is, or difference between sleep and death is, in sleep we wake up in the same body, and in death we wake up in another body. And then in between there is the dream state. When you fall asleep, we are not always in a sleeping, unconscious state. We dream. The subtle body remains active. That's the dream state. So, although they go back to the spiritual sky, but they remain in a state of sleep. Annihilation means everyone is dead, including Brahma. All the way up to Brahma, everyone is dead. So when they die, then what happens? The universe is dissolved, so they all go back to the spiritual sky, to the Lord. But in a sleeping state. But then he's pointing out, then again when the creation begins, they all come back. They all wake up. Although we go back to the spiritual sky, we don't go back to the spiritual sky. We stay in a state of sleep. In a state of sleep, Say, for example, you are in a plane, you're sleeping, the plane goes to, say, India. And then after that, the plane comes back to America and you wake up. Did you visit India? You are in the unconscious state. So whether you are in India or Timbuktu, or it doesn't really matter. So in this way, Krishna is saying, Prakritiṃ śyāmaṁ avaṣṭabhya viśrijāmi punah punah bhūta grāma imam kṛṣṇaṁ avaśaṁ prakṛtir vaśāt. The whole cosmic order is under me. Under my will, it is automatically manifested again and again. And under my will, it is annihilated at the end. Na ca māṁ tāni karmāni nibadnanti dhananjaya udāsīna vadāsīnam aśaktaṁ teṣu karmaṣu. O Dhananjaya, all this work cannot bind me. I am ever detached from all these material activities, seated as though neutral. Maya dhakṣena prakriti suyate sa charācaram hetu nānena kaunteya jagat viparivartate. This material nature, which is one of my energies, is working under my direction. O son of Kunti, producing all moving and non-moving beings, under its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. So I'm just going through it quickly. So like yesterday, I will divide you all into different groups and I'll give you different sections of this chapter to discuss among yourselves and then present the conclusion of your discussions. Avajananti mang mudha manushim tanum ashritam parang bhava majananto mamabhuta maheshwaram. Fools deride me when I descend in the human form. They do not know my transcendental nature as the Supreme Lord of all that be. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead doesn't need to come here, he doesn't really need to come to this material nature. Just as a king doesn't need to go to his prison. But the king may go to the prison out of his compassion for the prisoners, to show them the way to get out of the prison. The king may go to the prison. Similarly, Krishna comes to this material nature out of his causeless mercy. And he can come in any way. He can come directly, he can assume some form. Sometimes he may even come as an animal, in an animal form, just as he appeared as Meena, fish, Varaha, boar, kurma, tortoise. Sometimes he even came as a half-man, half-lion form, Nrisingadev. But sometimes he also comes in a human form. But he's saying, when I come in my human form, the foolish people deride me, thinking me to be one of them. One of them in the sense, thinking me to be as conditioned, limited, degraded, and miserable as they are. Like the king may go to the prison, but the king doesn't become the prisoner. But the king sometimes may even put on the dress of a prisoner to give the prisoners an advice. Hey, why don't you submit to the king? All your problem, you're suffering here because you have defied the law of the king. That's where you're suffering. So why don't you surrender to the king? Now the king may pretend to be or act like a prisoner just to advise the prisoners, but the king doesn't become a prisoner. But some foolish prisoner may think, oh, he's another prisoner. Why should I listen to him? I know better than him. So, abhajananti mang mudha. Fools deride me when I descend in the human form. But the reality is that the Lord's original form is that of the like the human being. In this respect, we can consider the statement in Bible. The man has been created according to the image of God. Man has been created according to the image of God. So, the original form of the Lord is like that of a human being. But man has been created according to that form. That doesn't mean that he is a human being. But the fools think that yes, he is a human being. There is no God. And if there is any God, that's me. I am God. God is not God, but I am God. And sometimes in India we come across some people who say that I'm God, you are God, everyone is God. Only God is not God. Moghasha mogho karmano mogho jnana vichetasaha rakshashim asurim chaiva prakritim mohinim shritaha. Those who are thus bewildered are attracted by demoniac and atheistic views. In that deluded condition, their hopes for liberation, their fruitive activities, and their culture of knowledge are all defeated. Mahatmanas tumang partha daiving prakritim ashritaha bhajanti ananna manaso gyatva bhutadim abhayam. O son of Pritha, those who are not deluded, the great souls who are under the protection of the divine nature, they are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. So who is a Mahatma? Mahatma is a person who has taken shelter of the Lord's internal potency. That means when one who has taken shelter of the Lord, he is a Mahatma or a true great, a true saintly personality. And what do they do? Bhajanti ananna manaso gyatva bhutadim abhayam. Bhajanti, they always serve me. They always render devotional service unto me, knowing me as the Supreme. And what do they do? Satatam kirtayanto mam jatantascha dridhabrata namashantascha mang bhaktya nitta yukta upasate. Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, these great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. Jnana jagyena chapyante jajanto mam upasate ekatvena prithaktvena bahudha vishrita mukham. Others who engage in sacrifice by the cultivation of knowledge worship the Supreme Lord as the one without a second, as diverse in many and in the universal form. Aham kratur aham yagya sadha shadha aham aham aushadham mantro aham aham evajam aham agnir aham hutam. But it is I who am the ritual, I am the sacrifice, the offering to the ancestors, the healing herbs and the transcendental chant. I am the butter and the fire and the offering. So the point is, in the sacrifice, every aspect of the sacrifice is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pita aham asya jagato mata dhata pitamaha bedang pavitram omkara rikshama jajurevacha. I am the father of this universe, the mother, the support, and the grandsire. I am the object of knowledge, the purifier, and the syllable om. I am also the rik, the sam, and the Jajur Vedas. Gatir Bharta Prabho Shakshi Nivasha Sharanang Surhit Prabhava Pralaya Sthanang Nidhanang Bijam Abhayam. I am the goal, the sustainer, the master, the witness, the abode, the refuge, and the most dear friend. I am the creation and the annihilation and basis of everything, the resting place and the eternal seed. Tapam myaham ahang barsha, tapam myaham ahang varshang, nigrinham utsi jamicha, amritang chaiva mrittuscha, sada satcha aham Arjuna. O Arjun, I give heat and I withhold and send forth the rain. I am immortality and I am also death personified. Both spirit and matter are in me. Traividyamang somapa puta papa jaggai rishta sargating prarthayante te punnamasadda surendra lokam ashnanti dibyan dibigeva bhogan. Those who study the Vedas and drink the soma juice, seeking the heavenly planets, worship me indirectly. Purified of sinful reactions, they take birth on the pious heavenly planet of Indra, where they enjoy godly delights. Te te bhukta sarga lokang vishalang shine punne marta lokang vishanti evang trai dharma manuprapanya gata gatang kama kama labhante. When they have thus enjoyed vast heavenly sense pleasure, and the results of the pious activities are exhausted, that is, when the pious activities are exhausted, they return to this material planet again. They return to this mortal planet again. Thus, those who seek sense enjoyment by adhering to the principles of the three Vedas achieve only repeated birth and death. Going to the heavenly planets is something like going for a vacation to a nice place. Now you go there because you have some money in your pocket. And when the money is finished, then you have to come back home. So going to heavenly planets is something like that. With the punya, which is subtle wealth, with the potency or by the means of those subtle wealth, one can be elevated to the heavenly planets, but when that wealth is exhausted, they have to come down to the mortal world again. Ananaschintayantumam jejana parjupasate teshang nityabhijuktanam yogakshemam bahamyaham. But those who always worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, to them I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have. So people by means of their pious activities, they may be elevated to the heavenly planets where they may enjoy for some time, but then they have to come back when their wealth is exhausted. But Krishna is saying, but those who are surrendered unto me, I take care of them. They don't have to worry about their own assets or own wealth. I take care of them. I take care of them in a sense, whatever they lack, I provide, and whatever they have, I protect. Why? Because they have surrendered to me. Those who have surrendered unto me, I take care of them in all respects. And time again, Krishna is giving this assurance that you surrender unto me, I will take care of you in all respects. Otherwise, your life is so full of anxiety. Whereas, when you surrender unto me, then there is no more anxiety. In this respect, I remember one incident. Srila Prabhupada was in a morning walk in Bombay on the Juhu beach. And in Bombay, many other people also were walking. And many people had their dogs also. And the dogs were healthy, cute-looking ones, happily following their master. And by the side of the road, there are some stray dogs, the pariahs, the stray dogs. And they're just barking. And so Prabhupada asked, what's the difference between those dogs and these dogs? Of course, devotees didn't have any answer. Then Prabhupada said, the difference is that these dogs have master, whereas they don't have. They're on their own, but these dogs have their masters. And see the difference? The dogs with the master, they look so, so happy, so healthy, so beautiful, well-groomed, manicured. But those dogs, those were on the streets. Therefore, the intelligent proposal, intelligent thing to do is to just surrender unto Krishna. And you become so free from, completely free from anxiety. Because he's giving the assurance. Whatever you lack, I'll provide. And whatever you have, I'll protect. You don't have to worry about anything.
Jeopi anna devata bhakta jajante shraddhayannita tepi mameva konteya jajanti abidhi purvakam. Those who are devotees of other gods and who worship them with faith actually worship only me, O son of Kunti, but they do so in a wrong way. Aham hi sarva yajnanam bhokta cha prabhureva cha na tu mam abhijananti tatte natascha avantite. I am the only enjoyer and master of all sacrifices. Therefore, those who do not recognize my true transcendental nature fall down. Janti deva brata devan pitrin janti pitribrata bhutani janti bhuteja janti majjajino pimam. Those who worship the demigods will take birth among the demigods. Those who worship the ancestors go to the ancestors. Those who worship ghosts and spirits will take birth among such beings. And those who worship me will live with me.
And then Krishna is saying how easy it is to go to him. Patrang pushpang phalam toyam jome bhakta prajachati tadahang bhakti uparitam ashnami prajatatmanah. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, a fruit or water, I will accept it. In order to worship Krishna, there is no need for extensive and elaborate arrangements. Well, if we can afford it, that's good. But if we can't, doesn't matter. If we can't offer anything, if we don't have the means, with love, if we offer just some fruits and flowers and leaves and water, he will accept it. In this respect, we can consider, actually in this respect, Prabhupada gives a very beautiful example that the son got a little son, little child got some money. And with the money he bought some sweets. And he goes to the father and gives it to the father. Daddy, daddy, I got it for you. How does the father feel? Now the Supreme Personality of Godhead is our Supreme Father. We all are his children. He already has his loving affection for us. Whatever you are getting is from him. Now if we offer that to him with love, then he becomes happy. His heart becomes filled with joy. And he picks us up like the father picks up the little child on his lap. All we have to do is just offer something as an expression of our love to him. The father doesn't need the sweets. And maybe the sweet was bought from the money that he gave to the son. He gave a few coins to the son to play with. And you took that money and bought these little sweets and offered it to the father. So that is how, no matter how insignificant our offering may be to the Lord, but if we make that offering, that pleases him immensely. And that's why now Krishna is advising, jat karosi jadasnasi jat juhasi dadasi jat jat tapushoshi konteya tat kurusha madarpanam. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, and whatever austerities you perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering to me. That is all our worship entails. We are always doing something. So let us do whatever you are doing for his sake. We are eating, even if we can eat for his sake. Meaning, whatever you are eating, we can first offer it to him and then accept it as his remnants. We give in charity, let us offer the charity on his behalf. We perform sacrifices, let us make those sacrifices for his pleasure.
Shubha shubha phalai revang moksha se karma bandhanai sannasa yoga yuktatma vimukta mam upaishashi.
In this way, you'll be freed from bondage to work and its auspicious and inauspicious results. With your mind fixed on me in this principle of renunciation, you will be liberated and come to me.
Samoham sarvabhuteshu name deshtasti nam priya je bhajanti tu mang bhaktya mai teteshu chapyaham.
I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I am equal to all. But whoever renders service unto me in devotion is a friend, is in me, and I am also a friend to him.
Api chet suduracharo bhajate mam ananna bhak sadhureva samantabhya sammag vyavasita hi saha.
Even if one commits the most abominable action, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated in his determination. He may be fallen now, he may have some problem, he may become degraded. But if he is engaged in serving the Lord, he is properly situated. That's what Krishna is saying. And then next verse is saying,
Kshiptrang bhavati dharmatma shashat chanti nigachati konteya pratijani hi na me bhakta pranashyati.
He quickly becomes righteous and attains lasting peace. O son of Kunti, declare it boldly that my devotee never perishes.
Na hi mang hi partha vyapashritya jepi su papa jonaya striya vaishyas tatha shudra stepi janti parangatim.
O son of Pritha, those who take shelter in me, though they be lower birth, women, vaishyas and sudras, can attain the supreme destination.
So, to become a devotee of Krishna, we don't need any qualification. Anybody can become a devotee of Krishna. No, even though one may be in a very, very degraded state of existence. One may be born in a very low-class family. Still, he can become a devotee of the Lord. All it takes is to honestly and sincerely surrender oneself to him.
King punar brahmana punya
भक्ता राजर्षयस्तथा अनित्तम असुखम लोकम इमं प्राप्य भजस्य माम।
How much more this is so of the righteous brahmanas, the devotees and the saintly kings, therefore having come to this temporary miserable world, engage in loving service unto me.
Manmana bhavo mad bhakto majjaji mang namaskuru mame vaishyasi juktaibam atmanang patmat parayanaha.
Engage your mind always in thinking of me, become my devotee, offer obeisances to me and worship me. Being completely absorbed in me, surely you will come to me. So, in this way, there are 34 verses in this chapter. Chapter 9, which is known as the Rajavidya, Rajagujha Yogam, the most confidential knowledge. Okay, so, now, should we divide in our respective groups like yesterday? We decided to make one extra group for the ladies. Instead of two, make three groups. Okay? So, and then I will, how will you make the sixth group or the third group of the ladies who were not in the groups yesterday? Shushila, you are not there. Mamatama, you are, four of you are not there. Five of you are not there. Okay, so five of you can form a group. Five of you who are not there can form a group, and you take one or two from the other groups. Like, your group had how many? Your group had nine, right? Gopika and Ratnaradi? Shama Mohini? Who says Shama Mohini? Okay, so from your group, maybe one can go to their group. Maybe Shama Mohini can go to their group, the third group. And the other group of ladies who are there, Rati Manjari, your group? You had 12, so you can sacrifice two. So who will, anyway, who will go into the, from your group? You can ask who will go to that group. Okay, voluntarily, who wants to volunteer to go to the third group of the ladies? You are not there, Premanjana, you are not there yesterday also. So that makes it six actually. No, you are not there. Nina, yeah? Nina was not there. Premanjana was not there. Three. Mamatamoyi was not there. Savitri was not there. So makes it five. Okay, five. No, Sushila was not there. And yeah, so six. So just two more. Figure it out. Rati, I leave it up to you. And the other groups, the men's group is fine. Two groups. Okay. So how many groups we have then? Three men and three women. Three groups men. Yeah. So six groups. So we have 34 verses. So five and, okay. So your group has first five verse, six verses. So first six verses, your group. Right? Next six verses is the next group. Rati Manjari, your group has next six verses. Right? That means 12. And the third group of the ladies have 12, five verses. 12 to 23. I'm sorry. 12 to 17. Then 13 to 17. And the next group is 18 to 25. Which is the next group? 18 to 25. That's your group. And then, oh, I'm sorry, 18 to 24. Then the next is 25 25 to 29, and the last group is 30 to 34. Okay, so you have, I'll come back at 12:30.